Blog Talk Radio.
GoDamnMedia.com.
I agree with that. Definitely, for sure. And hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. And sorry, I'm sounding a little hesitant today, aren't I? Well, I am. I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. Listening to my opening music, I noticed that there were a lot of pauses in that. I'm worried that I might get dropped from my own show. I'm worried that I might lose my chat room, and I'm worried that all the time and effort that I put into doing my program for you will be a moot point if Blog Talk Radio continues doing what they're doing. The radio hosts have been having hell on wheels with BTR this week, as you know. I lost my chat room on Friday. Jeff Mitchell lost his chat room on Friday. Ken McClintock lost his audio completely on Thursday. Gotti Edelman lost his audio completely on Thursday. Yesterday, the Crow and Moore show had to close up their show after only being there for 15 minutes because they lost their audio completely. Blog Talk Radio, you guys are really, really decent people. You have the best techs, the most helpful people. You're very good people. And we all know that you strive to offer the very best in service. But this is a real problem of this week. It's a real issue with us radio hosts, and we're getting a little fed up with it. You know, I will give you an example of how hard some of these radio hosts work, okay? I was listening to No Way on the Reactionaries radio program on Saturday, and he was doing an expose of the Ku Klux Klan. I saw him in Reactionaries chat room, in fact, last night. And why would I be in a chat room on the Reactionaries show on a Sunday night? Because Reactionaries show was totally trashed by Blog Talk Radio on Friday night, so he could not do Fast and Furious on Friday. He moved it to Sunday so that we could get our weekly Fast and Furious. Okay, so No Way was there in the chat room, and I was talking with him, and I was telling him how much I really enjoyed his program on the Reactionaries Speak Network there on Saturday. And he said, Kel, you know, for that 1 hour, I spent 10 hours in research and putting the clips together and doing this and doing that. See, Blog Talk Radio, this is how dedicated we are as radio hosts. We don't come on here and talk about cats and dogs. Well, I do. But at these rates, we put so much into what we do and how we try to deliver our program to our listening audience. So when we come here and we come on the air only to discover that we cannot access our chat room or that our callers cannot call in or that we lose our audio altogether, it is very, very, very disconcerting. And never mind the fact that a lot of us, we line up guests. Ken McClintock had a guest on his program on Thursday, and he had to dispel with the interview. It was, he could not get his audio sorted. And not dispel. He had to dismiss, rather, with the interview. But this man is one of the hardest working men I know on radio as well. No Way works hard. Reactionaries works hard. Ken works hard. Jeff works hard. Gotti Edelman works hard. We all work very hard. But when we have these technical glitches, it makes us look inept and it makes us look unprofessional. Blog Talk Radio, I'm not happy with you at all for what you are doing, and I'm hearing a lot of humming in my phone line, and I'm just going to pop into my chat room, and Paul Alexander, thank you, and Luchadora, thank you, they can hear me fine. I also have 937 listening on telephone. I hope that he can hear me as well. Like I say, it's just been quite a nightmare, but you know what, I'm going to get off it. Forget it. I'm just going to delve into my show, except to say that
it's official. You suck.
Uh-oh. I may be cut from my own show now. All right. On with the show. I want to talk to you about Islamophobia, and I'm getting really tired of that because I am not an Islamophobe. I was accused of being an Islamophobe again over the weekend. Yeah. I was at the National Post, Canada's national newspaper, And there was a story in there. The Muslim Youth Conference in Montreal has been canceled after a security review. Now, this is an annual conference that takes place every year in Canada. It was to be held in Montreal, Quebec this year, but the Quebec government, the Parti Québécois government, they canceled the convention center where it was supposed to be held. They canceled the whole thing. It was to be held at the Palais des Congrès, and that's the city's largest convention center, but they announced on Saturday that they will not be hosting next weekend's event, and that was for security reasons. And, well, in a way, I kind of understand why. Apparently, one of the speakers that they were to fly in is, well, let's just say he's a little bit of a misogynist. His name is Nader Abu Anas, and he was to head the Muslim Youth Association event. He was supposed to be the keynote speaker here in Canada, in Quebec, the province of Quebec in Canada. He's also the head of the Muslim Youth Association in France. This guy, however, he has a YouTube channel. He posts all sorts of videos there on YouTube. But there was one particular YouTube video that he made that alarmed the Quebec authorities. And that was him warning women against not wearing their hijab. Yeah. In this one video in particular, don't wear revealing clothing, wear the hijab. Because he said that if you don't wear the hijab, it's equivalent to cancer, or it's even worse. Yeah. Not wearing the veil is worse than cancer. Nader Abu Anas. Now, isn't that special? That's what we want to hear. Of course, the National Post, of course, they have comment sections. And I can never resist a comment section when it comes to Islam, because as you guys know, I am quite a vocal person that way when it comes to discussing Islam. I could not resist this chat room. I had to go in, and I had to put in what I felt. Now, I didn't go in and just blindly post, oh, well, good for them. You know, we don't want that crap here. No way, no way. No. I went to the comments section, and I was reading some of the posts. And, of course, the usual dhimmis, the apologist, and the outright Muslims were there, and they were posting furiously. What is this? This is against freedom of speech, and what is this? This and that and the other thing. Of course, they were going nutsoid. People were posting things that they had no idea of what they were talking about, and these would be your liberals in particular, of course. So I more or less went in with a few facts. I posted a few things, just some facts. Some things out of the Quran, some of the hadiths, a few facts about Muslims. Well, of course, you know what happens when you do that. You get the feedback, and you get the labels. Of course, the label du jour was that I was an Islamophobe. And Tommy Hunt just walked in. Tommy, hello. I have not seen you in ages, my dear man. It's great to see you. Just want to say hello. I love interactive radio. I really do. But yeah, being referred to as a Islamophobe. Like I tell you guys, does it ever... stop. No, it doesn't. And No Way is here. I think No Way's ears must have been burning. And Cat Strangler 101 is here. And that's Tim Burton, my dear friend Tim from England is here. Oh, pardon me while I clear my throat and say hello to these fine people joining me in my chat room. No, I'm really sick and tired of the labels. I'm sick and tired. I am not an Islamophobe. I am Islamo-fed up. I'm sick and tired of the whinging and the whining and the carrying on by these Islamists. They want their rights. It's a human right to walk around in a hefty bag, for goodness sake. It's a human right to be able to talk in a mosque and tell women that if they do not dress up, it's the equivalence of getting cancer. It's my right to talk like that. It's my right to share my point of views that way. It's my right to be a misogynist. It's my right to espouse the values and the virtues of Sharia law. It's my right. No, it's not. And I'm sick of it. So when this crap comes across my desk, I'm going to talk about it. And I'm going to get mad. And I'm going to say things that you may not like to hear. But one thing you can be assured of is that I am not an Islamophobe. For one, there is no such thing. I do not have an unhealthy fear of Islam because I know what Islam is. You cannot have an unhealthy fear of anything when you understand it. And I do understand Islam. I have been studying Islam for years. I know all about Islam. And I probably know more on my little pinky than most of these people who go there to the National Post website and enter their chat forums. I know more on my little pinky than most of these dimmies that post on there and try to convince me that Islam is a religion of peace. Islam is not a religion of peace. Another thing, I'm getting sick and tired of them trying to tell us. Do you know where Islam, the religion of peace, actually came from? You know where that term came from? It came from Sayyid Qutb. He was a cleric. He was born around the turn of the 20th century. I think he died in the 1960s. Sayyid Qutb, he coined the term religion of peace. And what he meant by that is that there will be global peace when Islam and their ambitions for a global caliphate are complete. So when you have a Muslim come up to you and tell you, but we are a religion of peace, you ask them about Sayyid Qutb. Ask them. And also tell them to if they're going to quote hadiths at you, for example, what's that one? Boy, there is no compunction in religion, or it's something like that. I have it right here. Yeah, apparently that's one of the peaceful passages in the Quran. Tell them to quote the entire hadith and how it carries on to continue. But hunt those down and kill them wherever you find them. Yeah, you see, they try to sell a bill of goods. They try to tell you that, look, we're just like you. We just have different standards. Yeah, like stoning our women and cutting off the hands and the feet of the thief. Yeah. So anyway, I went back to this chat room yesterday just to see how things were going. I was curious, wanted to see what people had to say. And, of course, what happened? The National Post, not only did they close for any further comments, they removed the comment section altogether. So I could not even go back and see the rest of my rebuttals, if any remained, because the National Post, they decided that, well, we're taking down the entire thread. So if you go in there today, Muslim Youth Conference canceled in Montreal after security review from the National Post from Saturday, you'll see the article, but the comment section is completely gone. Yeah. So much for our freedom of speech. Yeah. However, I tried to screen save a few things and didn't do too well because I lost that file. Don't ask me how I managed to do that, but hey, you're talking with a red fox, so anything can happen, right? I was just getting more and more angry about it, though. I was just getting really fed up about these apologists trying to convince me. And I wasn't argumentative because you never want to be argumentative on the internet. And you don't want to make yourself sound angry. You don't want to make yourself sound defensive. No, you want to be logical and you want to be reasonable, which I, of course, strive to be all the time. I did go in armed with a few facts. These are facts. Facts that cannot be denied because they're from the Evil Green Book itself. I would go in with a logic. Can you please then explain this to me? Or can you please back up your statement with a link or with a fact? Well, no, I can't. No, sorry. Or they would send me a link, and it might be from the Huffington Post, which, of course, is of no use to anybody. So I'm really angry that I could not get back into the National Post and carry on with the discussion because the National Post decided that they were just going to, well, the hell with it. We'll remove the entire comment thread. It's gone. But these labels that they're throwing at us, being Islamophobic. No. We got to stop that right now. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to get myself probably kicked right off of Blog Talk Radio. I try to be very circumspect when I do my shows. However, some days it's very hard. You people know the entire premise of my program centers around Islam. It centers around Sharia law in particular. That is pretty much my forte. That is what I do. I read things and I become outraged. I sit here day after day after day and I totally absorb what Islam is up to next. I was talking with you last week about how I was listening to Usama Dakdok. Mm-hmm. And his proposal, right? As you know, Egypt is going to hell in a handbasket. Syria, we won't even go there today. Well, the Coptic Christians in particular in Egypt, we know that they're being wiped out. We know it's a genocide. The churches are being burnt to the ground. We have seen proof of people, worshippers, Christians, being burnt alive in their churches in North Africa. We have seen all of this. So when I was listening to Usama Dakdok last week, his proposal, for every time they burn down one of our churches, we shut down a mosque in the West. This is the kind of thinking I like. This is what I would like to see happen. Because Islam is not respectful. Islam does not appreciate opposing point of views. Of course not. Islam is so rigid, it's unbelievably strict. Islam allows for no free thought. Islam is an external political entity. Islam is not a religion. And if you speak out against Islam, well, watch out. But what Usama Dakdok said, yeah, we shut down a mosque for every time they burn down one of our Christian churches, wherever that may be globally. And we don't just shut it down for a week. We shut it down for good. Until the Muslims start taking responsibility and respect for other religions, it will not have mine. And I certainly will not sit back and be accused of being an Islamophobe because I know too much, maybe in their eyes I know too much, and they don't like that. They don't like the idea that we have cottoned onto them and we know what they're up to and we know what their intentions are. We know what Islam is. So when I discuss it and I bring up facts and I bring up points of views that I can back up with links, don't you even think that I'm some sort of phobe. I am not. Now, there's a lot going on out there. It never ends in the world of Islam. Now, I briefly mentioned Syria. I might get back into a round table discussion on Syria this Friday with Jim and Jeff. They joined me on my show Friday evening. And Jim from Boston and Jeff from East Anglia, they both joined me in my chat room. And they joined me on the air. And we took a round with Syria. Syria is quite an issue. It's quite a handful right now to tackle. I'm not confident, really, on tackling it completely on my own. Jim and Jeff, though, they're the ones, they're keeping on top of it. So they may be back this Friday. I'm not too sure. And we may pick Syria up again. But, yeah, Syria. Another big mess going on there. Egypt, Syria. Do you think Obama has anything to do with that? Because I don't know what this man's game is. I don't know what his goals are. I don't know what his intentions are in terms of Syria, his red line, all that. It seems he draws a line in the sand, and he erases it, and he pushes back, draws another line. Syria is laughing at him now. Syria, Barack Hussein Obama has taken the greatest nation on earth, and he has turned it into a laughingstock. The people of the United States are not happy. I'm not happy. I may be in Canada, and I'm very proud of being a Canadian. I love Canada. Canada is the best country in the world, in my eyes. But the United States is the greatest nation in the world. If it were not for the United States, where would we be today? As a subject of the Queen fighting the Nazis in World War II, the United States stepped in and they helped end it. I am forever grateful to the United States for everything that they contribute globally. And then Barack Hussein Obama came along. Yeah. Barack Hussein Obama. And his advocacy for Islam. This man knows no bounds. This man is unbelievably either a Muslim himself or the world's greatest dhimmi. I know what he's not. He's not a Christian. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know what he, I don't know if he's a Muslim. People, of course, more and more they're convinced that he is a Muslim. I know he sympathizes with the Muslims. He certainly loves the front groups. He certainly loves CARIF, the Council on American Islamic Relations. He loves the ISNA, that is the Islamic Society of North America. He is backing these groups all the time, despite the fact that we know that they are front groups for such things as the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, and Hezbollah. For goodness sake, we know about CARIF and the Holy Land Foundation trial, but that wasn't enough to dissuade Obama to back away. If anything, he seems to be going out of his way these days to praise these front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood, Hezbollah, Hamas. He seems to be going out of his way to do so. What if his latest? Well, he is a proud partner with the Islamic Society of North America, which we know it's a proxy of the Muslim Brotherhood. They're the founders of Al-Qaeda. Muslim Brotherhood leaders were just deposed by Egyptians expressly because of their adherence to the policies of terrorism and Islamic fascism. But Obama still loves the ISNA. To the point where he made himself a little video to share with them.
Assalamu alaikum, and congratulations to Imam Magid and everyone at the Islamic Society of North America on your 50th annual convention. Over the last half century, you've upheld the proud legacy of American Muslims' contributions to our national fabric. And this gathering is a testament to that tradition. Some of you here lead companies and laboratories and classrooms. Some of you serve honorably in government and in our armed forces, and most importantly, as devoted parents, good neighbors, and active citizens, you help build stronger families and communities, supporting our youth and aiding the less fortunate. Each and every one of you is committed to the vision that this country has always championed, that everyone deserves a chance to make their mark on our American story, no matter who you are or where you come from, or how you pray. That's why I'm especially grateful for the work that ISNA has done to advance interfaith understanding and cooperation here at home and around the world. And my administration is proud to be your partner in our shared efforts to promote economic opportunity, accessible health care, and affordable education in Muslim communities throughout our country. Because as I said at the White House Iftar dinner last month, Muslim Americans are an integral part of our character and history, and we're relying on your innovation and entrepreneurship to help keep moving this country forward. So thank you, ISNA, for your tireless advocacy and your commitment to an America that realizes the full potential of all its people. May the next 50 years bring even more progress, and may God's peace be with all of you.
And with people like that in the White House, how are we to fight these front groups? Barack Hussein Obama, what is your end game, sir? I would like to know that. Do you know anything about the Muslim Brotherhood, Obama? Of course you do. You're supporting them. Look what you are attempting to do in Syria. The Syrian, you are, look, I just want to get one thing straight, Obama, okay? Because you're sitting in my office right now. You're in my chair. You're my guest in my office, and we're having a little chat, okay, Obama? Let me explain something to you, Obama. First of all, it's the Muslim Brotherhood that you're backing if you attack Syria. Assad is not the greatest. We know that. But he is the devil, we know. You know, at least under Assad, Christians were still had a modicum of peace and protectionism. That is gone. because you are backing the Free Syrian Army, which is, of course, the front for the Muslim Brotherhood. The same is what you are doing in Egypt, backing Morsi, a former Muslim Brotherhood leader. Obama, everything you go near, it turns to rust. You're responsible for the so-called Arab Spring, which is now turning into an Islamic nuclear winter. You're responsible. You're responsible for the Muslim Brotherhood flourishing in the United States. The Muslim Brotherhood in America, it's terrorism, it's Al-Qaeda, it's Taliban, it's Palestinian terrorists. It's the influence that they have on these groups you so love to support, the Council of American Islamic Relations, Islamic Society in North America. The Islamic Society of North America, they're the largest group in the United States, by the way. And I did not know this. ISNA, they own 80% of the mosques in the United States. Interesting. ISNA, Muslim Brotherhood. Bingo. The same with CARE. And CARE, front group for Hamas and Hezbollah. They have all sorts of minions firmly implanted. They have people like A.M. al-Sahari. They have people like Grover Norquist, Jamet al-Fraqah. All these people who are active members of the Muslim Brotherhood, they're in positions of influence in the United States, and Obama's fine with that. He doesn't see an issue whatsoever with that. The Muslim Brotherhood, subversion, terrorism. Unfortunately, they have heavy influence. They're everywhere. This is why I wish Obama would simply disappear. He says he won't go into Syria without the consent of Congress. We'll wait and see. We'll have to wait until later on next week when Congress reconvenes to find out what happens. Meanwhile, we sit here while Obama makes a joke of us on the world stage and thus contributes to my being labeled by these Muslims being emboldened. They're being emboldened because they're winning. They think we're afraid of them. We might be, in some senses. They can smell fear. These Muslims, they are not above the rabid dog. And their senses are very, very acute. And they love fear. They can smell fear. They prey on fear. We cannot let them know that we are fearful. We cannot let them know that we're not fear. Well, you know what? I said that backwards. We cannot let them know that we are not fearful. Hang on. I'm still getting that messed up. We're not afraid, Islam. All right. Settle it there. Must be a Monday on a long weekend. Gosh. But they do. When you're afraid, they know it, and they pounce on it. And they will take advantage of that. They believe Islam full of believers. They believe what their cleric tells them, and they believe in the Quran and the Hadiths in that Quran, in that evil green book. They believe, and because they have such a strong belief system, they will browbeat you every chance they get. We cannot be afraid because they believe. we have to be prepared to stand up and say very strongly, well, I do not believe, and be armed with your facts. I do not believe because of this, and this, and this, and this. Now, this conference that was supposed to take place in Quebec, the Muslim Youth Conference, the theme of this year's conference was to be between heaven and earth. Well, somebody in the comments section said more like between hell and harem. Yeah, I can go with that. But I liked that it was shut down because, like I said at the beginning of the program, one of the keynote speakers was to be Nader Abu Anas, who's the head of the Muslim Youth Association in France. When you have people going on record, which he has because he has a YouTube channel, and he tells women that wearing revealing clothing is equivalent to contracting cancer, this is not the type of person we want in this country. We do not want these people coming here and espousing that. In the chat room, of course, you always get the arguments, well, it's all about modesty. And a woman has the right to dress any way she wants. The niqab and the hijab, these are not issues of modesty. These are issues of oppression. You try to explain that, you're an Islamophobe. Yeah. I think I became very wealthy this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, and lunch is on me because I think I saved my nickel for every time I was called that. No, it's not. Modesty. Nader Abu Anas. And, of course, there is nowhere in the Quran that says a woman has to dress up in a black hefty bag. It's not in the Quran at all. This is, Islam is a religion of misogyny. Islam is not a religion. Islam is a political entity. It's a political entity made up of misogynistic men who see women as fourth-class citizens. Everyone says, oh, they're second-class citizens. Yeah, they are. Absolutely, and indeed. But when it takes a woman needing to obtain four men to testify on her behalf that she was raped to ensure that she is not the one stoned to death, then yeah, they're fourth-class citizens. Nader Abu Anas telling women that not wearing a hijab is the equivalent of obtaining cancer, that is sick. Believe me. Sorry about that. I had to hit my mute button. That's the equivalent of obtaining cancer. Really. So I can't sit here in my office today wearing a t-shirt and my shorts because I'm showing some leg. I'm showing ankle. Ooh. Believe me, you're not missing much. Just kidding. But I deserve to contract cancer because I'm not wearing the hefty bag? Please. This is why the conference was canceled. Because of speak like this. Speak like this in our own country. I applaud the Parti Québécois for ensuring that this conference, this annual youth conference, was denied the venue. Now, the youth conference itself has not been canceled, just the venue. the Palais de Congrès is actually government-owned. Therefore, the Parti Québécois, they can have a say on whether or not this conference will take place there. Who's to say that they won't find another venue, and whether or not this Nader Abu Anas may be granted entry into Canada, we'll see down the road. I will certainly keep on top of that and let you know. And just to let you know, speaking of conferences, you know that Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer, they're coming to Canada, and they're going to speak in Toronto on September 17th. I've been telling you guys that for a while now, right? Well, they will be speaking. So far, it is a go despite... Pardon me. Where'd that frog come from? Frog, go away. Go away. Get out. Frog, grab it. Go. All right. Sorry about that. As you know, they're scheduled to speak at the Hilton Suites Hotel and Convention Center just outside of Toronto. That's in Markham, Ontario. It's pretty much a borough of Toronto. Their topic, the dangers of Islamic extremism and Western complacency. Well, Care Canada decided they don't want Pamela Geller nor Robert Spencer coming here because they're hate mongers. And so they wrote a very threatening letter to the hotelier. His name is Patrick Regina. They wrote him a letter and said, don't allow them to come here because this is what they're all about. And the sponsors of the conference, the Jewish Defense League of Canada, address the concerns of the Hilton Suites Hotel. And Patrick Regina, in the end, pretty much told Care Canada to take a hike. So we had a little bit of a letter-writing campaign thanking Patrick Regina for holding his ground and telling Care Canada to take a hike. So thank you for that. So I sent Pamela Geller an email, and I was telling her how proud I was as a Canadian that we're standing up against this nonsense being rained upon us via Care and all of their minions. And I took a long shot, okay? I took a long shot. I said in my email, I said, I do this radio program on Block Talk Radio. I'm out of Canada. In fact, I'm going to be at the conference on the 17th. I was wondering, would you like to come on my show and share with my listeners what you'll be discussing and this and that and the other thing? And she emailed me back, and she said, sure, when? Wow. So Pamela Geller may be on the show maybe this Friday. I'll certainly let you know. I am grateful, though, that these people, they're so busy, but they take the time out because they know how important it is to us that we get our message out. This is what people like Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer do. They get their message out. They try very hard to educate us, as people like No Way, as people like... Tim Burton, is people like Luchadora. All we do is our best. All we give is our best. All we try to achieve is that you can walk away armed with a little more knowledge than once you walked into one of our programs. I'm looking for something here. I can't find it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a bit of a break. I'm actually way beyond the halfway mark anyway. I should have taken the break 4 minutes ago. I'm going to do that right now. Something else you should know, I'm a song thief. Yeah, I steal music. Holger, I'm stealing from his show all the time. I steal his music and I play it, baby. Oh, I get teased about that. Well, this time, No Way, I stole from him. Yes, I did. Listening to No Way on Reactionaries Network, on Saturday, he played a song I had not heard in ages. It's actually from one of my absolute favorite bands. So I thought, oh, I'm going to have to play that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you back here in a few minutes. Please enjoy Metallica, Nothing Else Matters. And welcome back, everybody. And just to remind you, you are listening to the Red Fox Blogger, and I'm your host, Kel Fritzy. I do not want to forget this. Holger Awakens is having a very important program on Saturday, September 7th. I want you guys all to note this on your calendars and be there. Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
On Saturday, September 7th, at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we near the 12th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America by Islamic jihadis, the Awakening Show on Blog Talk Radio will discuss Islam as never before heard on Blog Talk Radio. That evening, the war on Islam will begin. This is no war on terror. This is no war on a few radicals. This is war on Islam itself. Join Holger Awakens on Saturday, September 7th, as he remembers 9/11 and speaks to the vengeance still owed to the American people, and more importantly, as the war on Islam begins, the way it should be declared and the way it should be waged. Islam, Delenta Est.
So yes, please try to join us. Join Holger on September 7th at 11 p.m. And if you're wondering who that voice is, that is our very own Stanger. Stanger did the voiceover, so Stanger, top drawer. Thank you for allowing all of us here on Blog Talk Radio to share that promo. Yes, do try to be there. I want to thank you guys who are joining me right now. You guys are the best. I've got Cal Living here. I've got Cat Strangler, who's Tim. I've got Luchadora. I've got No Way, Paul Alexander, Poppy, Tommy Hunt, and I believe that's Mark I have listening on the line. If it's not Mark, my apologies, 937. You can call in if you like at 347-237-4318, or you can hit the skippity Skype there at the top of the show page. But, yeah, just staying on Pamela Geller for a minute. As you know, she was banned from speaking in Britain because they were worried about impending violence in terms of her potential engaging in hate speech. Give me a break, please. Like I say, this woman speaks nothing but the truth. Her and Robert Spencer. I put the link in the chat room. For those of you who are listening in archives and, of course, cannot access the chat room, the link is also in my blog at redfoxblogger.blogspot.com. I put it in there on Monday, August 26th, so you won't have to scroll down too far to get it. But, yes, banned from speaking in Britain. My, my, my. This is why we are all on tenterhooks here in Canada, especially when Care Canada started making noises about them speaking here, and why we had a little letter-writing campaign to the hotelier and general manager, Patrick Regina, of Hilton Suites Hotels and Convention Center in Markham, Ontario, for not backing down when they told him that, oh, we do not want her here. Too bad. She's coming. Her and Robert Spencer are coming. I have my premium tickets. They cannot deny me my opportunity, my once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet two of the very people that inspire me in what I do. So when I came across this article, actually, I didn't come across this article. I get my email alerts from Atlas Shrugged. Yeah, Atlas Shrugged. I applauded Pamela Geller for doing this. Now, they are filing this lawsuit. And I will tell you what Pamela Geller has to say in her own words. In one of the most foolish and self-defeating decisions in recent history and in recent memory, the British government has banned us from entering the country. Our message of free speech and equality of rights for all before the law is too hot for them. But just as last week they let in a Saudi imam who said devotion to jihad for the sake of Allah and the desire to shed blood, to smash skulls, and to sever limbs for the sake of Allah and in defense of his religion is undoubtedly an honor for the believer. But that's all right for two British authorities. Resisting that jihad is not. Terrorists and inciters to jihad are welcome, but champions of freedom are not. But we're not taking this lying down. We're not willing to give up once Great Britain for the left fascist and Islamic supremacist who got us banned. We're going to appeal this decision. We're determined to stand for freedom with our English allies and to do it in London. It's not going to be easy. The entire British government and media elite is determined to appease Islamic supremacists and discredit and silence the defenders of freedom. We will have to hire a top British legal team that can navigate through all the roadblocks and obstacles that the Home Office puts up, and that is true. So if you can help, if you got $5 that you left in your pants pocket while you were doing the wash and when you were hanging your clothes on the line and you went, oh, hey, look at that, I found $5 in my pocket. Can you please give it to Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer? It's going to cost a lot of money, but it's worth it. The price for freedom, democracy, free speech does not come free. It comes at a very high price. The British government to do this is incomprehensible to me. This is why I say Canada is the best nation on the planet, because we don't listen to the Islamists. Our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, certainly does not. This is why the greatest nation on the planet, the United States of America, has to do something about Barack Hussein Obama, because he would sooner see them deported to Siberia. But no way. Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer, they're not taking this lying down. I have a little message here from Pamela Geller. It's not long, but I just want to share it with you. This is the sign, the petition.
I'd like to discuss this with you. This is the letter that I received on Her Britannic Majesty's service. That's from the UK concerning my entry ban. And the reason why I would like to discuss it with you is because despite the fact that it was headlines across the UK and Europe and in some circles here in America, nobody, not one media outlet, asked me what I thought. They told you what I thought. They had my detractors on, they had the smear merchants and the haters on, they had the Muslim Brotherhood proxies on, spreading smear, defamation, and libel, but they never had me on to tell you what I thought, that I think that it's a travesty, that the UK is enforcing the Sharia, and make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, they are enforcing the Sharia, because it's not as if they have a problem with something I said about Zoroastrians, or about the Hindus, or about the Jews, or about the Christians. No, it's because, according to this letter from Her Britannic Majesty's service, I said that Al-Qaeda is a manifestation of devout Islam. Well, Al-Qaeda is a manifestation of devout Islam, and Al-Qaeda says that they are a manifestation of devout Islam. And this is why they're not letting me into the country. This is the Sharia. This is the enforcement of the blasphemy laws under the Sharia. And I find it shocking that the British government, now, this is the same British government that fought for freedom and for individual rights back in the 40s. This is the same British government that aligned with America. This is our ally that would keep me out, but let in every hate preacher that spouses Jew hatred, killing of the infidel, of course, wife beating, skull crushing. You had that gentleman, Arifi, the skull crushing preaching imam, who was welcomed just last month. There are pictures of him in London on Al Arabiya. He is welcome, and I am an human rights activist who condemns oppression, persecution, and the slaughter of religious minorities, who abhors the misogyny inherent under the Sharia, who advocates for nonviolence. The nonviolent human rights activist is banned, but the imam spewing hate is welcomed. Now, I think that the people need to have this discussion. Apparently, according to this letter, I am not conducive to the public good. But I'm so good. I am totally conducive to the public good. And more importantly, freedom of speech is conducive to the public good.
So I just wanted to give you a chance to listen to a little bit of what Pamela Geller had to say about this. And like I say, she may be a guest on the show this Friday. I will, like I say, keep you up to date on that. There's a lot going on out there, guys. There's a lot of things out there, and they're trying to hold us back from speaking about it. Islam, they whinge and they whine. They're not getting their rights. They're not respected. They're not this, they're not that. There are a lot of this and a lot of that, and when we try to talk about that and this, well, we're the Islamophobe. Yeah. I'm telling you, people like Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer being banned from a country is absolutely unbelievable to me. But they have a lot of support from people like you and people like me. They have a lot of support. They have our 101% endorsement. When we see this sort of thing going on, we get busy and we do act. I have a big voice here on the radio. I have my little blog I enjoy doing, trying to bring you the news that you will not find in the lamestream media. And I have the power of the internet in which I can initiate campaigns myself. The one we organized to write Patrick Regina to thank him for his stance against Care Canada is one that I am proud that I was involved in. And, of course, I have to give full credit for that to Blazing Cat Fur. Blazing Cat Fur is one of my favorite websites, blog sites ever. It's based out of Canada. He discusses the news of Islam and its ramifications as to what's going on in Canada. So, Blazing Cat Fur, you're my best friend. I love you. But we do battle a lot. There's a lot of hurdles that they make us jump through. And it's not just the Islamists. It's not just the Council of American Islamic Relations, nor the Islamic Society of North America, or anything like that. They're bad enough. They're really bad. They stink, in fact. Okay? But it's not just them that we have to battle. We have to battle our politicians as well. We have to battle the David Camerons of the West. David Cameron, who probably stamped his tiny little feet and went into his corner and sucked his thumb when Parliament convened and said no to his bid to attack Syria. Yeah. We have a politician here in Canada. I've spoken about him in the past. That is Justin Trudeau, son of Pierre Elliott Trudeau, former Prime Minister of Canada. Well, Justin Trudeau, he is now the leader of the Liberal Party of Canada. He could very well be our Prime Minister one day. Justin Trudeau is a Dhimmi. Justin Trudeau went on record this week saying that he thought Omar Ahmed Kadar, who is a convicted terrorist, he's the one who murdered our American Army medic Christopher Spear in Afghanistan in 2002, he should be treated justly and receive compensation due to his hard time served at Guantanamo Bay. Yes, Justin Trudeau, leader of the Federal Liberal Party of Canada. I just had to take a pause there because I read this and I cannot believe that this man would do this. And I had, okay, you know what? I have the link right here and I'm going to put it in the chat room for you because I put it on my, I put it in my blog. It's right there. I'll post it in the chat room for you right now because it comes with a lot of, I put a few links in there for you. I want you to go to that link, and I want you to post on the accompanying links that I included in that blog, and just see for yourself just how much of a dimmy Justin Trudeau is. I do a lot of stuff for my Canadian listeners because I notice I'm garnering more and more Canadian listeners as time goes by. We cannot have politicians like this. We have these politicians in the United States. We have some of them leading our countries. Barack Hussein Obama, David Cameron, potentially Justin Trudeau. Time is of the essence. We're at a critical mass in our history right now with Islam. We cannot allow these politicians and their dimitude to go unchecked. We have to stand up to it now. And for the Islamists out there, I'm not an Islamophobic. I'm Islamo fed up. We have Islam on the defensive right now due to the power of the internet. We can do our own research, and we can read books, too. Reliance of the Traveler is my reference source for a lot of what I do. I understand Islam. I understand Islam very well. I understand the explanatory memorandum as created by the Muslim Brotherhood in 1928. I understand the ambitions. I understand their goals. I understand what they mean when they say they're a religion of peace. I understand. I'm not afraid. I understand. If I'm afraid of anything, it is that we will not wake up in time, that we will not do anything armed with the knowledge that we have regarding Islam. Justin Trudeau, another example of dimitude in office, high office. Well, he's not in office. He's a opposition leader, but he could very well be in office one day, espousing that murderers of our troops be compensated for their hard time served in Guantanamo Bay. Yeah, what happened? Did a guard mishandle his evil green book? What did he say? Omar Khadr needs to be treated the way we treat Canadians, according to the rules that exist, according to the laws and principles that govern. He has to be treated like any Canadian who has been incarcerated outside of the country. We need to be fair to the way we treat Canadians, and if people don't like the way the laws are now, well, then they need to change them, for goodness sake. Do you believe this? Some days I come to this show, and I cannot believe what I'm sharing with you. Some days I come to this show, and I swear you think I'm riding a unicorn over a rainbow. But no, this is reality. And these are the people of power. These are the people who control policy. These are the people of influence. I posted the article in the chat room. If you click on it, you'll see a picture there. There's Justin Trudeau, and you look at this guy, okay? First of all, he looks like a rock star. I mean, there's no denying that he's kind of handsome. Personally, I think his mouth is a little funny, but that's just me. But the ladies dig this guy. The young girls dig, you know, the shiny pony. He's got that nice tousled hair going on there, the perfect teeth, and those penetrating eyes, those bedroom eyes. That's his voting base. The young girls in university, and of course, the Muslims. As we know, he attended a mosque. Took the podium, had a speech. I addressed that in this blog entry. You can go to the Red Fox blogger, check it out, but click on the link for the article from Tariq Fatah regarding Islamic bigotry. You can also click on to a link I have in there with Ezra Levant from Sun News Media. Click on that one as well. Time is of the essence. We have to start standing up and not being afraid of it. We have to stop with the labels thrown in our faces. We have to start throwing those labels back at them. In fact, throw them at our feet and stamp on them, and then throw them back in the faces of those that would address us in such a manner. Because we're not afraid, Islam. We're not afraid of you. We know too much about you now. You have been exposed. You are in our radar. We will expose you every way we can, whether it be via our blogs, our radio shows, our articles in the newspaper, or our opinions in a comment section in a national daily. We're here. We are not going away, Islam. We will continue to dog at you day and night, Islam. This is what we do. This is what I do. Believe me, you are not going anywhere. You are not going gentle into that good night. We will not allow it. We will not allow you to set a foothold in our West. We will not let you compromise our freedoms and our values. We will not let you try to introduce your Sharia law and your hatred. We will not allow our creed for our existence being that we love death like you do. We will not allow this to happen, and we are stopping it. One voice, one blog, one show, one article, one speaker at a time. Islam, we're on to you, and you know it. You have nowhere to hide anymore, Islam. You have nowhere to go. This from the Islamophobe Kel Fritzy. Laugh out loud. All right, guys, I am done. I'm pretty much wrapped up. But what I'd like to do. Sorry, I hit my cough button again. What I like to do is on Mondays, I really like to do a rundown of all these fine programs that you can hear right here on Blog Talk Radio, and that is the Radio Jihad Network. Radio Jihad Network, they've been pretty good to me. I call in sometimes, and I be a bit of a bother, and the radio hosts are very generous with their time with me. And on Fridays, I more or less acted as a de facto rep of the Radio Jihad while they had their replacement come in. But you can go there 7 days a week. As a matter of fact, there is a show tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's the Vito Esposito Show. Yes, Al and Vito talk about the issues of Islam. You can go there on Tuesday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and listen to Andrew Bizet, an Islamic scholar. You can go on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and listen to Freedom Quest, and that's with host Eliza Jane and co-host Luchadora. You can go there on Thursday and listen to the Gadi Edelman Show, that is American Akbar. You can go there Friday now at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and listen to Dr. Christian. On Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, listen to Usama Dakdok, revealing the truth about Islam. And on Sunday, you can listen to the Uncle Dave Show, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Monday, 6 p.m., Tuesday, 11 p.m., Wednesday, 6 p.m., Thursday, 8 p.m., Friday, 11 p.m., Saturday, 10 p.m., Sunday, 7 p.m. Listen to all of these programs and listen to what they're telling you. And I just want to welcome Simple Facts of Life, who just walked into the chat room. Simple Facts, welcome very much to the program. There's a lot of radio. There's a lot of information out there. Oh, and I have to give Uncle Dave credit for something. I was listening to him last night, and we were talking about, you guessed it, Barack Hussein Obama. And I said that Obama is in way over his head. And Uncle Dave said, Obama could stand in a children's wading pool and still be over his head. So I said, I'm stealing that. So thanks, Uncle Dave. Okay, guys. I'm done. That's it. Time has run out. I always enjoy doing the radio programs. I always enjoy bringing news to you. I always enjoy the feedback that I get in my chat room. I enjoy the feedback I get on my blog. But most of all, I enjoy just being here. I do this show because you make me feel like I'm making a difference. If I have reached one set of ears, my work is complete. It truly is. I want to thank Tommy from EDL, who said that I'm the infidel fox in the Muslim chicken coop. That I am. And it is true, Islamophobia, stop the insanity, or I screwed that one up too. It's mass Islamity, stop the insanity. Oh, and by the way, we are not Islamophobic. There you go. Guys, I may have Pamela Geller on this Friday. I'm not too sure. Like I say, I'll let you know. I hope so, though. I'm looking forward to meeting her and Robert Spencer on September 17th. And I know my Canadian listeners would be very much interested in her coming here. You can probably still get tickets for that. In fact, if you get in touch with the Jewish Defense League of Canada, just go to their website. That's jdlcanada.com. You'll see that all the information is there. There may still be tickets. So try to shoot for that if you're in the Toronto area, for my listeners up here in the region. And also, I do not want to forget September 7th with Holger Awakens.
On Saturday, September 7th at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we near the 12th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America by Islamic jihadis, The Awakening Show on Blog Talk Radio will discuss Islam as never before heard on Blog Talk Radio. That evening, the war on Islam will begin. This is no war on terror. This is no war on a few radicals. This is war on Islam itself. Join Holger Awakens on Saturday, September 7th, as he remembers 9/11 and speaks to the vengeance still owed to the American people, and more importantly, as the war on Islam begins, the way it should be declared and the way it should be waged. Islam, Delenta Est.
please try to be at that program. It will be a very good one. It will be enlightening. Islam, the gloves are off. And before I go, I have a little issue going on right here. Hello? What? Oh, for goodness sake, Freya. Is this what you're after? Oh. As you know, it seems every Monday when I'm doing my show, my cat comes around and she wants her food. Okay, there you go. Eat your food. I think she does this on purpose. I don't know. Like, she is a really cute cat. I adore her, but Mama's trying to do work here, Freya. Like, why do you always come around at this point? Oh, wow, she's lucky she's cute. Yeah, I know. And Freya, quit bringing in the entourage with you. Who are those people who always say, aw, every time I say you're cute? Who are those people? Gee, okay. I'm done. Guys, thanks for being here. Thanks for putting up with the ravings of a mad fox. Like I say, I am the infidel your imam warned about. Islam, I'm just another chink in your armor. Have a great afternoon, everybody, and my North American friends. Enjoy the rest of the long weekend, a holiday for those who work tirelessly day and night. Have a great Monday. Behave yourselves. I will see you back here on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Meanwhile, over and out, guys. Bye-bye.